We just sat up for a while last night just pondering on some of the things that were said, some of the memories. I mean, you forget things, don't you? You know, life goes on, you forget things. And it was just so wonderful to remember, to recall what God has done over the years. But this morning is a different day. The planet's different today. The thinking, the behavior on the planet is different today. Almost everything is different today. One of the shocks I got, somebody said to me not so long ago, Google in ghost cities in China. What's that got to do with today? Ghost cities in China. And the Chinese government's been making, all this good profit and so on. And they are building these huge, complete cities with no people in them. You look it up. But why am I saying this? I'm just saying that we're in a world that's just doing things that we never did 25 years ago, 20 years ago, perhaps even 10 years ago. Things are changing so fast. And God doesn't change. And God knows the end from the beginning. We are in a position, aren't we, where we're static in the sense that we're standing firm with God, but we're not static at all, we're moving on. And so the question I think that maybe is certainly in some of our hearts this morning is, where to from here? Now, in England, in Britain, we've got contact with a number of Christian organizations, and the organization we're with, strapped for cash like nobody imagines. Absolutely. I mean, this whole economic downturn, it has hit many people, I know, but ministries are being strapped. And 2 years ago, I'm on the leadership where we are, and we've had many hours of prayer and seeking the Lord because finance has just gone crazy. And the Lord said to us, I will give you bread for today. Transfer that back to the wilderness. I'm not saying we're in the wilderness, but the principle. I will give you bread, fresh bread, every day. Now, in 1984... Rob alluded to this last night. Just before I left the Air Force, it's military policy to give you about 3 or 4 months leave before you actually leave in order to prepare for what you're going to do when you go into civilian life. So I had these 4 months and went to Israel and spent most of the time with Calvin Crombie. He invited me for 3 nights. I stayed for 3 weeks. He's never let me forget it. I mean, he's Australian. You wouldn't expect him to. By the way, he's a mate of mine. And he's coming to stay with us at the end of the week, so... 1 night. I'll let you know if it changes. But during that time, I was one afternoon up on the Temple Mount. In those days, it was easier to go on the Temple Mount than it is today. And I was just wandering around, really not thinking about anything that I can remember. But the Lord put a word into my mind. Now, this was just before we left the Air Force to be full-time for Prayer for Israel. And this word, I couldn't work out what the Lord was saying. It seemed so strange. You see, I can't add up. I'm no good at balancing a checkbook. Rosemary does all that. The word was cash flow. Cash flow. And so for the next few days, I'm saying, Lord, what does cash flow mean? And he gave me this picture. The picture of a strong river flowing with all the fresh water, with little eddies and side areas, you know, little pockets of land where the water was gathering in those areas. You got an idea? And the cash flow was the mainstream of the river. You don't build up a bank account. Let it flow. Don't let it stagnate in those little pockets. And Rosemary will tell you, she did the books. There were times we had nothing in the bank account. She mentioned recently to me, and I didn't remember it, one Christmas, there was just nothing there. We had nothing. That was our income as well as running the ministry. The Lord provided. But the point was this. Whenever we had a magazine to go out or we had any costs, the money was always there. It was always there, even if it was the last minute. And where we are today, we're talking about much bigger cash today in this ministry because it's much bigger. But what we've learned in 2 years in bread for today, fresh bread for today, our accountant, he's a brilliant accountant, but he's never walked an experience like this before. I mean, accountants, you know, they plan things out. They're organized. We discovered you can't always do that with the Lord. And this man has grown in faith. We were told it was projected by the end of December last, the end of the financial year in the UK, he had projected we were going to be something thousand pounds, not New Zealand dollars, pounds short. And we had no way of seeing or making that money. We got through with a black balance. When we had our first board meeting of Prayer for Israel, it was in Wellington, in the home of Marcia Trask, who has been gone to see the Lord again. And we had this meeting. Rob was there, Eric Chambers was there, and Brian Hathaway and Rosemary and myself. And if we were going to be leaving the Air Force, I had to give notice. The bishop had been in touch with me, and he was offering. We worked in 4-year contracts, and I was just completing a contract, and he was inviting me to sign on for another contract. And so at that meeting, we prayed, Lord, would you show us what we should be doing? And he gave us a whole chapter of the Bible, Deuteronomy chapter 11. And it basically starts like this. If you love me with all your heart and all your soul and obey me and follow my ways, you will know blessing. And it says, when you were in Egypt, you had to dig your gardens and water by hand. But I'm taking you into the promised land where I'm going to water from the heavens. And from our understanding of that chapter were probably two key points. One was the Lord would provide, and we interpret it perhaps in ways we'd never seen before, and that proved to be true. The second point was this, that we understood from it that if we walked out of God's will, the way he'd show us was by drying up the cash flow. And I think it's a principle. I don't think it was just for us then. I think it's a principle with the Lord. Now, we're in a day where we all know that this whole money thing, I mean, I don't have to explain that, but if the Lord's called us to a work that's on his heart, and we're faithfully doing what he's asked us to do, is he going to short supply us? Is he going to leave us high and dry? That's not the God that I've come to know through the Word and through experience. And when I say that we're working these days at one day at a time, fresh bread at a time, some of the money's come in right at the last minute. Don't ask me why God waits till 1 minute to 12 before he comes through. But he does sometimes. But it's always been there. And some of it's come from the most unlikely places. And certainly in prayer for Israel, I want to tell you, from places we didn't know the source or didn't know the person that was the source, but it seems to me that frequently, if not always, God's supply comes through one of his children, who he speaks to, and that fund is released. Why am I saying this? Because I think we are a different generation, a different time in God's program of history, and he is faithful. And I would encourage you, and I especially want to encourage Ken and Mary and the board. We all know Hebrews 11:1, don't we? Do you remember it? Shall we read it just to make sure we get it right? Hebrews 11:1. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. So, we're very sure, according to this, of something that we know as hope, but it's not in existence yet. Maybe God's given a vision or some supernatural way through his word or whatever, but it's something that's not a reality, but it is in the heavenlies a reality, but not on this earth. And faith is a verb, it's not a noun. It's a doing word, it's an action word. And he's calling us in to come into partnership with him, whatever it's for, calling us to come into partnership with him and bring into reality on this face of this planet of what is in the unseen realm a reality. What's the Lord's Prayer? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. What would Jesus say? What was John tells us, Jesus records for us Jesus' words? I only do what I see my Father do. He's up there in the heavenlies. I only say what I hear my Father say. That means being in the closet for a while to really hear the Father. To make time, doesn't it? And through the circumstances. So I love the concept of going into uncharted waters. Some guy did this in a great cruise liner recently, didn't he? Only the waters were charted and he wasn't really following his map, his chart. But, you know, I think the Father's really calling us in these days to go into uncharted waters. That's what faith's about. I mean, it's all right when I've got this road map, but when it stops there and the road still goes somewhere, you know, I used to, for a little while, used to fly. I loved it. And I likened it a bit to when you're in radio control, wherever you are in the air, you're in radio control either with the tower at the airport or with the control service in that region. And they communicate, the pilot communicates with them and gets direction, especially if you're in fog or cloud and you can't see the way ahead. You go by your instruments and you go by what you're told by the control services. The Holy Spirit's like that, I think. That wherever we are, he's in us, isn't he? Isn't that part of the package? Now, do we talk to him? Do we know how he talks to us? We need to be sure. I know there's a fear, and I've tell you, this has happened more often than not. Is this God speaking or is it just my imagination? Sometimes that's difficult, isn't it? Especially with a major decision. But I think we've got to come to a place where we don't equivocate. We've got to come to that place of knowing. Who was it that said, okay, God, I'm going to put a sheepskin out and see whether the ground gets wet or not? You know? A fleece. God expects us to do that. I love Malachi. Would you like to turn to this? This is really, I found this fantastic. I never did history at school. I did more sciences. And I guess that's partly why it appeals to me. It's the one bit that this version calls robbing God. You know, when he says, I'll just read it. I, the Lord, do not change, so you, O descendants of Jacob, are not destroyed. Ever since the time of your forefathers, you've turned away from my decrees and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord Almighty. But you ask, how are we to return? Will a man rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask, how do we rob you? In tithes and offerings, you're under a curse, the whole nation of you, because you're robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty. What did that say? Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it. Now, I'm not here talking about tithing. I know that is. But the principle he's saying here is, look, you don't really believe that this is true. Well, you try it out and see if the blessings follow. And it's like an experiment in a chemistry lab. You try to put this together and that together under certain circumstances, and you try to see what the result is. You're testing something. And God actually says that. He says, test me in this and try it. Can I give you a little story? Nothing to do with prayer for Israel, but it was part of our thing. When we were in the Air Force, we were on base Auckland, and in the chapel congregation, it was all Air Force people, but there was one couple who came and led our worship, and they were great, and he didn't have employment, and he felt the Lord was saying, you know, you walk with me and I'll provide. One day I go into the chapel, and the Lord just collared me, and he said, you know, he spoke to me through some words in James and said, you're not feeding your workers. Lord, what are you saying? What are you saying? And the Lord said to us, you're not looking after this couple who lead the worship in my house here. Oh, okay, Lord, what do we do? He said, I want you to give 50% of your salary to them. Wasn't sure how Rosemary would take it. I mean, it talks about tithing in the Bible, doesn't it? And anyway, Rosemary took it so well, she said, let's go down and let's do it. Now, there was a sequel to that, and that sequel was this. We had been given an Air Force house on Hobsonville and very good soil, and I've been brought up in a family that does vegetable gardening, and I like that sort of gardening. Now, we'd had a garden and sweet corn. We love sweet corn. Usually sweet corn, as I've seen, each plant has a large one, well, a small one, and a larger one. Our whole crop had all large ones. Our bean crop was over, and Rosemary had put into the freezer all of the stuff. And we went for a holiday and came back. Now, we used to grow beans commercially, and my father did. I know what beans are like. You never get a second crop. I'd never had time to pull these out. The whole thing had a second crop on it. We had strawberries that kept us and our neighbours for 3 months in strawberries. We had three pumpkin plants, 68 pumpkins. We had a friend of... a market gardener who came in, and he said, we were talking about this, he was a believer, and I said, you know, we got 68 pumpkins on three pumpkin plants. Doesn't happen. Okay, John, go and count them, John, go and count them. You know, we inherited two fruit trees. One was a nectarine and one was a peach tree on the back lawn. And the previous padre had said to me, oh, look, rip them out. I meant to do it, but they don't do anything. They're just stones with a bit of skin around them. You know what they're like. And one was a seedling. And I never got around to ripping it out either. And we had some friends come in who were orchardists in Cumu. And they came in and Brian said to me, we're doing the washing the dishes, and he's looking out the window where the peach tree was, and he said, what do you spray that peach tree with? Holy Spirit? And, you know, the peach tree had large fruit. The branches were down on the ground. It was a nuisance to get the lawnmower under. And the nectarine's exactly the same. And we realized that the Father was teaching us about kingdom economics. And they're not Rogernomics, if you know what I mean. You see, he's absolutely faithful. And he wants to give us fresh bread every day. But do you remember what happened when they saved it? It all went to worms, didn't it? So, I think perhaps one of the things that's happening today is that the Lord is teaching us survival kingdom mode, because it's going to get worse if I understand it right. The way the EU going is absolutely unreal, and so on and so on and so on. So we'll draw this to a close. I've wanted to speak to you about this because the future's not the past. Principles are always eternal, but you don't repeat what was done in the past. It never works. You never go backwards in life. You always go forwards. Abraham went forward, forward, forward. Didn't know where he was even going. And he's an incredible guy, Abraham. Now, I'm speaking to myself, but I'm thinking particularly of Ken and Mary, where I know the whole economic thing is really hit prayer for Israel, as it has with others. And I rather guess, it's a guess, I might be wrong, and I usually am, but I'll guess anyway. I guess they're wondering, where to from here? And I have been in Rosemary, been so moved by all of you here this weekend. We had prayer conferences, we never had this many. But it's not the number, it's the heart. There's such a heart among you that I perceive of people who want to do what the Lord wants done. And we're the body of Christ here, the whole lot of us. Some are arms, some are legs, some hearts, some lungs, but we're the body of Christ. And we're connected together, not only this way, but to the head. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. And I believe that as these days get more and more difficult, especially for Christians, I believe we're going to have to really start to learn what faith is about. I have been so presumptuous in life. I've taken for granted so many times what God's done and not stopped to say, thank you, Father. Thank you for that. Thank you, Father, that you did this. But what I do know is that from our experience that I've just relayed to you about this kingdom economics, it's given us faith to understand in a new way from what we understood before of how Father will provide. And perhaps together, we need to be encouraging each other, building each other up in faith. What did Jesus, what did the Father say through Malachi? Test me in this and see. See if it works. See if it works. I'd like to pray, would you join me, for Ken and Mary? I'd like to pray for a fresh anointing. And I asked them if they'd mind if I anointed them with oil, and they agreed with that. It won't be like an occasion when Janet Kimberly and her husband Arnold and Mari Shaw were in our home and we were in a real tight fix. I tell you, we needed prayer. We needed prayer. And so they're praying, we're eyes closed. Mari Shaw says, I think we ought to anoint you. Oh, that's very nice. Yes, but like they did it in the Bible. We stood in the bath and they took a bottle of olive oil and poured it out. I didn't have a beard, but it went all over us. And somehow, something happened. It wasn't a gimmick. Something happened in the unseen realm. And I pray this morning that as we collectively stand with Ken and Mary, that something will happen in the heavenlies over prayer for Israel and over their life and their family. Are we agreed?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Would you like to stand? Can you come out, Ken? Mary? Father, I want to give you thanks for this weekend. But it hasn't just been a conference. It's been a gathering of your saints, your children, in your presence. And we want to thank you for that, Father. We want to thank you for your faithfulness. We want to thank you, Lord, for just the miracle of life. We want to thank you for that miracle of new life in your Spirit, being new creations in the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, we thank you. That is the most wonderful miracle. That is the miracle. And we want to stand this morning with our brother and our sister. We want to stand collectively with them. We want to put our faith with their faith, Lord. That mustard seed. That mustard seed that you promised to give growth into a mighty tree. Lord, would you come this morning? Would you come and would you touch Ken and Mary? Lord, would you give them a fresh anointing? Father, would you give them that gift of faith for the now, the today, and the tomorrows? And in the name of Jesus, we just lift off Ken and Mary, any rejection that's come upon them, any fear of rejection, we lift you right off in Jesus' name. Any spirit that's been of unbelief, any spirit that's of resentment, any spirit that's caused them to have their faith dissipated, we come against every one of those spirits in the name of Jesus Christ, and we lift them right off of you both in the name of Jesus. We lift off you that spirit of division that wants to put a wedge between you both. We lift that spirit of division and any spirits contributing to division. You come off of Ken and Mary in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Any fear, we lift you off in Jesus' name. You have got no authority to be upon these saints of the living God. No authority. Every job function of you powers of darkness is cancelled through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. We give you praise. We give you glory. Oh, Lord. Thank you. Every unbelieving spirit, you depart in Jesus' name. Any shame or guilt, false guilt, we lift you off in the name of Jesus. Any shame, come right off in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And Lord, we are asking that you'd fill them afresh with your Spirit. Lord, would you fill up their spirits, Father, their human spirit, where they've been crushed, where they've been wounded, Lord, would you just fill out their spirit with your Spirit, Lord? Where they've been pressured, where they've been pushed to the limits, we just lift every spirit off of them that's caused this and command you be gone. And Lord, would you give them faith this morning? Faith, Lord, a new depth of faith, a new experience of your faithfulness, Lord. Oh, Father, we just thank you for this couple. And we affirm them and affirm them in the calling you have on them to lead Prayer for Israel and New Zealand. And we're asking you, Lord, that as they lead into this uncharted territory, this territory where nobody's treaded before. It's a new time in history and circumstances. And Lord, perhaps in some way you want to make some changes in direction of Prayer for Israel. We don't know, Lord. But Lord, would you give Ken and Mary an understanding together, that they can confirm it together, they can agree together that it's you that's spoken, Father. And Lord, that in unison with their board of trustees, Father, would you give them that strength collectively, that unity collectively? So, Father, we take this oil and ask you, Lord, would you come upon it in a special way and use it to your glory? And we anoint you, Ken, in the name of the Father, in the name of Jesus the Son, and the name of the Holy Spirit. And Mary, we anoint you in the name of the Father, in the name of Jesus the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, we just come before you at this time, praying, Lord, for that infilling and overflowing of your Spirit, Lord. I pray, Father, that when they get home from this weekend, that they'll take a couple of days just to be alone with you, perhaps walking the beach or whatever it is, but just to be alone with you, to hear your voice, Lord. Lord, would you really lift them up and encourage them, Father, as only you can do. And pray for the peace that passes all understanding upon them, Father. Thank you, Lord. Can you name your family, your children, grandchildren?
Yes. Our boys are Andrew, Martin, and Ashley. Their wives are Sharon, Kim, and Joe. Our grandchildren are Lauren, Dominic, Sasha,
Theo.
And Theo, and Hannah, and Sarah, and Daniel, and Jessica, and William.
Lord, we commend this whole family to you, Lord. We pray for your protection, covering of your blood over their homes, over their lives. Keep them safe, Father, we pray. Lord, would you draw them closer to yourself?
Yes,
we pray particularly for those grandchildren, Lord, that they will grow into that full destiny you've purposed for them, Father. That they will know the faith of their grandparents. And Lord, that they'll walk in that faith, we pray. Lord, watch over this family, we pray. Pray that you watch over Ken and Mary's home and the workplace there. Lord, that you'll keep far from it the snares of the evil one. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
We bless you and we praise you, Father.
Thank you.
In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
I have placed over you and around you the cloud of my presence. And in my cloud is my bounty. And I shall provide for you. And I shall lead you by the cloud during the day and the fire at night. For I am leading you into a new land. And I will provide for you, and you will know my ways, and you will know my provision.
And Lord, I just saw a vision, Lord, of an open heaven and a dove come down, Lord, and sit upon them, and I felt you saying your voice of Abba Father saying, you are my dear children, in whom I am pleased. Father, I pray that those words, whom I am pleased, will go deep within their spirits. In Jesus' name.
Well, I see a release. It looks like balloons, but the Lord's just saying through that you will just know incredible joy.
Yes. Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
I wonder if each of those of you who have brought a word, would you mind writing it out clearly and putting your name on it and giving it to Ken or Mary, please? So often these words are spoken and they're lost. We need to have these. Thank you. I wonder if we could have the...
It's part of a song. As you lean upon me and take my yoke upon you,
Joe, could you give those words to them as well, please? Could the Board of Trustees, would you come down and we can pray for you collectively, please? I think Todd and you're new on, aren't you? You're the new boy on the block. Right, great, great. Okay, let's pray for this team, shall we? Father, we indeed thank you for this team that you've gathered here together. Lord, you've been moulding them into a team, and we pray, Father, for further growth in unity, further growth in the depth of fellowship with you and each other. Father, that you would take them all into a new dimension of faith and understanding. Lord, it's clearly a new season, and none of us know what you purpose in this next season, and we don't want to speculate. We want to hear your voice. And so we pray, Lord, that you would speak to the whole of this trustee board, Board of Trustees, Father, in what it is you want to say to them, what it is you want to say to direct this ministry that you've developed, Lord. Lord, that in their time alone, singly, would you speak to them, and Lord, collectively, would you speak to them, and Lord, that there will be a sound and deep communication one with another as well as with you. Father, would you give your wisdom to this Board of Trustees? Lord, wisdom that only you can give. And in that wisdom, Lord, would they be wise to only move when they've all heard your voice and confirmed it. Lord, we do ask that there'll be that sense of we have heard the living Lord and we are willing and desirous to do what you ask of us, Father. So, Lord, we just commend this whole group to you and pray that you'll continue to take them into this new day, this new season, to do what you want at this time. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. And would you, Lord, each of the families that are represented here too, Father, we commend those families to you, husbands, wives, children, grandchildren. Lord, we commend them all to you because we're not individuals, we're all parts of families and we have our responsibilities in those families. And so, Father, we would ask that each one of them won't neglect, but they will have that compassion, understanding for their families, but Lord, also, would you continue to give that compassion for the Jewish people who are still so blind, and yet you've promised that they will see one day. Lord, would you continue to give that compassion, that commitment, that faith, Lord, to continue to walk together in serving you in this way. And I especially at this time want to pray for Reese, Lord. Lord, these things that befall us health-wise, it's just a huge mystery. We do not understand these things, Father. We do not understand anything about them. Sometimes we think we do, and we just don't. Lord, I pray for Reese and Karen. Would you give them that faith, Lord, that awareness of your presence in their home? Lord, that you'd continue to take them through the days ahead, whatever they contain, Lord. I just thank you for the outward commitment this couple have to you and its evidence, Lord. Thank you for that. Thank you for the wise words that come from their lips. Lord, we're asking right at this moment, would you have your arms around Reese? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Sorry, I can't hear. What's Oh, I see. Okay, well, if you'd like to, yeah. How do you feel about that? Okay. I've only got a dirty hanky. Has anybody got some tissues?
I've got a hanky here. It's just a
Oh, thank you, brother. Thank you. Okay, let's just. Sorry. Okay. Oh right. Oh wow. Wow. Okay. Could you just put it on here? And can we all lay our hands on it and pray? Lord, we're not doing a gimmick here. We're following the practice of the Apostle Paul. And he laid hands upon a cloth. And Lord, you did wonders through that. And so we take that as our precedent, Lord. And we put our hands on this in the faith that you'll empower this cloth to do what you plan it to do. Would you bring relief to Reese through it? Even healing, Lord. Would you do that, Lord? Would you do that, Father? Thank you, Lord. We give you the praise and you the glory. Thank you, Father. Lord, would he give faith to Reese and to Karen? Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you. So what do we do now? Communion, is it? Communion. Right. Okay. Okay. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Where did I put it? Here it is. Yep. Yep. Thanks. I want to move into communion. Well, we're in communion, aren't we? Move on in this time together. We were at a conference once in the United States of America with a healing ministry, and somebody had a severe need in South Africa, and this testimony we were told was that they faxed through a cloth that hands were laid on, and that at the other end that fax copy, whatever you like to call it, was used on a person, and the story we heard was they were healed. I don't know what they were healed of. God does amazing things, but I think it's always important to keep to scripture on these things. So we want to gather around the Lord's table this morning, and I just would like to read from 1 Corinthians 11. 1 Corinthians 11, beginning at verse 17. Sorry, verse 23. Chapter 11, verse 23. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." We've just been talking, haven't we, about the bridegroom coming for his bride. See, in Scripture, particularly in the Old Testament, memorials were very significant. You may remember Jacob, he went to sleep and the dream he had, and in the morning he said, "I've met God in this place," and he took a pile of stones and anointed them with oil. It was a memorial of what had taken place there. And throughout Scripture we find people placing memorials to remember what God did in those places. This that we are going to do this morning, breaking bread and drinking of the cup, is a memorial. It's a memorial of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us. It's a time for us to pause and see ourselves at the foot of that cross see the blood of the Lord Jesus being shed and knowing that's for us. Seeing his body being broken, knowing that that is for us, for our salvation and for our healing. And so this morning, what I'd suggest we do when we start, I'd like people from this side, could you come, we'll start at the back again if you wouldn't mind, and if you come down here, if you take a cup, and we have here matzah that has been broken up. So if you'd like to take a piece of that, and if you wouldn't mind, we'd like you to take them back to your place, and then we will participate in this together that way. Is that all right? And so with this side, if you would do the same from the back, if you'd come here, if you'd help yourself to the broken matzah and one of these cups here, and if you would take that back to your place, please. So the Lord Jesus, he took that loaf. He took the loaf after the meal in the Seder. He took that loaf and he did what everybody had always done at a Seder. He blessed the Lord for the provision of it. He broke it and gave it to each one of them. But what he did that had never been done before was he said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And at that time in the Seder, as most of you probably are well aware, he took the third of the four cups, the cup of redemption, and he gave the Father the glory, the thanks for the fruit of the vine. They were used to that. They'd always done that way. And then he passed it round to them. And he did something that had never been said before. "This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you." And it was only a very brief time afterwards. He was nailed to that cross. He was hanging, soaked in his own blood, dying for the payment that was necessary for a just God, for our sin and rebellious attitudes. So this morning, as we come, let's just take the time to recall that this is a memorial, what it's a memorial of, and I would encourage you, can we make this a time of recommitting our lives to the Lord Jesus? So he broke the bread and he gave it to them. Their lives were never the same again. The church in its history thought that the bread became the body of Jesus and that the wine became the blood. And of course, we don't believe that. But I wonder if we got it wrong. I wonder if it's the transformation that happens in us as we receive the bread and the fruit of the vine by faith, that the change comes within us, not in these pieces, because that's what it's all about, transformation at the cross, where the Lord Jesus Christ took our place at the cross. So if you'd like to come down and circle around, help yourselves here, and go back to your place, please, and then we'll carry on then. Would you like to stand? Let's pause for a moment, and in this time, if there's anything that the Lord's brought to your mind that you need to confess to him, just in your heart, if you can bring that to him and repent of it. And perhaps you might like to just use this time to recommit your life to the call of the Lord. We want to thank you, Lord Jesus, that this matzah represents a leavenless loaf of bread no sin. There was no sin in your life. And these holes represent your body that was pierced and striped. And we want to thank you. Thank you for what you have done for us. While we were yet still in sin, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Let's just partake of it together, shall we? Perhaps you might like to just take these minutes or two just to bless the persons on each side of you. Can we join together in that prayer which the Lord Jesus taught us, the family prayer? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you his peace. Amen.
We have all the board here with us. It's around. Just as our final act, let's bless this couple who have come literally to the uttermost, from the uttermost. Yes. Father, we want to thank you for Murray and Rosemary. Thank you for who they are in you. Thank you for the deposit that you have put in them. And from that deposit, they have brought their overflow and overflowed into our lives this weekend. And we are so grateful to you, Lord, for them and for what you have done here through them and what you are doing through them. And it's so good to see them looking so good and fired up for you again. It's absolutely wonderful, and we praise you and bless you.
Father, we thank you for these pillars of your church. We thank you, Lord, for their wisdom, for their discernment, for their sacrifice that they have given their lives totally over to you, and the lives that they've touched over the years, Lord, the fruit that has come and overflowed through the sacrifice that they've made to follow your calling. And Lord, we pray for your divine protection over them, the blood of Jesus. We pray for their children and grandchildren, Lord. We think of their up-and-coming trip to Israel with their family. We pray, Lord, for fresh revelation for this whole family and redemption and salvation and new life, Lord. So just may this be a sweet time of family fellowship, a rebonding and a reuniting to bring new life and in every way. So bless that trip and bless Murray and Rosemary and all their travels. We pray for divine appointments for them. We pray for grace and favor, you people, the people you bring into their lives. We pray a release of finances and provision in every way. Lord, we thank you for what they've sown over the years into this ministry. We thank you, Lord, for what you've done through them into this ministry, and you're continuing on in a great and marvelous way. So bless and keep them, guide them and lead them. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen.